Let's update from Tanya. Phil Moss will be along too because there's been controversy round one of the A-League, and not to mention what's
VAR
happened.
VAR again.
Yeah, VAR. Boz has had his say on it. Not to mention what's happened over there in the English Premier League as well. All that coming up after the news on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Prince Harry has fired up 500 athletes competing at the Sydney Invictus Games by praising them as the new generation of servicemen and women. Prince Harry told the Games opening ceremony at the Opera House last night how their generation was redefining what it means to serve despite their sacrifices, too often going unrecognised by society. The Duke of Sussex says Australians should let the courageous example set by the athletes influence their own lives.
It's your job to cheer them on and share their stories. It's your privilege to watch in the stands or with your friends and families around the television. It's your responsibility to make sure your children know how amazing these guys and girls really are.
Senior Liberals say voters punished the party for the way Malcolm Turnbull was knifed as Prime Minister. The long-time Liberal seat of Wentworth is now in the hands of independent Karen Phelps after she defeated Liberal Dave Sharma in Mr Turnbull's old electorate. A man has died after being arrested for assaulting patrons at a bar in Melbourne. The homicide squad is now investigating the death following the incident at a bar in Glen Huntly Road, Elsternwick, early yesterday morning. Victoria Police say when they arrived at the bar, the man was being held down by a number of people. Officers subsequently arrested the man and placed him in handcuffs when he lost consciousness. Police attempted to revive the man until Ambulance Victoria arrived and took over, but he died at the scene. Professional Standards Command will oversee the police investigation. Also in news, a Far North Queensland family have saved a 22-month-old boy from the jaws of a 4-metre-long scrub python after it grabbed the child while he was playing at the family home north of Cairns. And a 51-year-old surfer has escaped serious injury after punching a shark in the head at a beach north of Newcastle. At least 59 people were killed and dozens injured after a speeding train ran into a crowd watching fireworks during a religious festival in Amritsar, India. The fireworks display was being held on a private property adjacent to the railway tracks. Many people reportedly moved onto the elevated train tracks to get a better look at the show when the accident occurred. Our India correspondent Neha Pune reports.
The Indian Railways is calling this a case of trespassing and has alleged that the train driver had no reason to believe there would be people on the tracks and hence the train was moving at its assigned speed. It's added that the smoke from the firecrackers made it difficult for the driver to spot the spectators in time and that slowing down the train would have led to a bigger tragedy with the train's coaches at the risk of derailing. The Indian Railways claims the organisers had neither alerted railway officials nor sought prior permission for holding this event so close to the tracks. Neha Punia, New Delhi.
And Syrian opposition activists say the Islamic State group has released 2 women and 4 children they had been holding since July in an exchange with the government. The women and children were among 30 people kidnapped by IS in the southern province of Sweida in July when the group carried out a raid that left more than 200 people dead. This is Air News. The Perth Wildcats have recorded their third term and second half Tongan push to prevail 34-16 in their historic rugby league test match. The Matema were behind by 20 and had forced the Kangaroos into a fourth straight line dropout when the sellout Mount Smart Stadium crowd broke into hymns. And their prayers were answered when Solomana Carter crossed, instantly reviving memories of that near upset of England in their World Cup semi-final last year. However, that was as close as the rising powerhouse got, as James Tedesco restored the Kangaroos' lead in the 64th minute and effectively sealed victory. Tedesco was told Fox Sports his side excelled in defence.
I think Tongan, you know, they had a lot of attack and threw a lot at us and the way we defended our line. And I think that was just a great effort from our boys and we enjoyed the win.
They're the fallen giants of the Supercars Championship, but yesterday was a memorable one for Tickford Racing. After a series of struggle, Chas Mostert and James Moffat combined to deliver the 14 their first win of the season on the streets of Surfers Paradise. In A-League soccer, Melbourne City has beaten local rivals Melbourne Victory 2-1 at Docklands, and champions Manchester City have taken over sole control at the top of the English Premier League table with an easy 5-0 win over Burnley, earning them a seventh win from their opening nine games. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
The IKEA clearance event ends today. 400 products minimum, 40% off. Don't miss out, in-store only. So hurry into IKEA Tempe, Rhodes or Marsden Park today. In Annan Grove, Blue Gum Road is closed at Blue Gum Creek due to flooding. So is McClements Road in Moralia. In Sydney Olympic Park, we've got a heavy vehicle convoy slowing up traffic on the M4 between James Roos Drive and Hill Road. And in Pyrmont, look out for lane closures on Harris Street between William Henry and Quarry Streets for roadworks. Hyundai Monday is coming tomorrow. Get great deals across the range, plus huge factory bonuses on selected models. A great week starts with a great deal. Visit your local dealer tomorrow. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Thursday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
Looking forward to a chinwag today, as always.
Chinwag with Cossie brings you in-depth chats with racing stars past and present.
Delighted to have a chat with you.
Hear what makes our racing personalities tick. Thursday mornings from 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Nobody has your back like family, so you know Penrith Mazda will look after you. Get the Mazda 3 Neo Sport, the car of choice. Drive away from just $21,490 and get 3 years, 45,000-kilometre free servicing on selected BT50 models. Plus, all new Mazdas get 5 years unlimited-kilometre warranty. Penrith Mazda, your 2017 Mazda Master Dealer. Family-owned and operated at Mulgoa Road, Penrith. MD18808.
Dynamic Syndications have the highest quality stallion prospect. Buy a Group 1 winner from a Group 1 winner to own and race with Arrowfield Stud. He's by exciting first crop sire Olympic Glory, a four-time Group 1 winning champion, 2- and 3-year-old. From Covertly, a Group 1 winning and Group 1 place mare, and the Dam Mistakes winner Detective. Quality matters. Join our Dynamic Arrowfield Gay and Adrian team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Cloudy, 40% chance of showers, becoming less likely this evening. Raymond, winds south to southeasterly, 20 to 30 kilometres an hour, becoming light in the evening. A maximum of 20 degrees. Now, what about Wyong, where they're running today, and Wurrunga?
Yeah, currently Wurrunga is 14 degrees, Jimmy. Cloudy up at Wyong, it's currently 17 degrees. Heading for a top temperature of 19 on a cloudy day, the occasional shower.
What a performance. Mark Leishman wins the CIMB Classic, and he wins it easily.
BizSolution just Holmesman stretching every sinew. Photo BizSolution's won it. BizSolution beats Holmesman the Cliffs of Moher.
Kimbrel deals in the air.
Pakistan win by 374 runs.
Mankiewicz flies it across. There's a chance, and the equaliser arrives through Adam Lafondra. Adelaide have conceded when really they didn't look likely to at any point in this game.
McLean, they're running it early in the count. Tedesco through. James Tedesco. Trebojevic with that pace. Trebojevic scores. Back time.
This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock, over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back. Final hour of the program, right up until 10 o'clock. Ray Thomason in the Melbourne studio. Jimmy Smith here in Sydney as well. That was after the big Caulfield Cup day yesterday. We've got a big hour coming up, Raymond. Our legend of the game is the legendary Shane Gould. 3 gold at the 1972 Munich Olympics. Phil Moss with all the A-League and EPL updates. We'll get a sports update from Tanya as well. We'll check in with your man Trent Lenscow down there in the Melbourne studios. And, of course, Scotty Foster will be on the program. Your calls as well on 13 53 53. And Raymond, the blow-ups keep coming in.
There's a few of them, Jim.
Yeah, aren't they? Here's another one that's come in here. You mentioned Khabib and McGregor, but this is Mike Tyson versus Lennox Lewis. Robbie Farah, David Farlongo versus Jason Taylor. That's from Roy.
I like this one from Doremus. What about the time Tanya had to tell Ray there's no puff wheat left in the season?
Very good.
That was from Doremus.
Very good, yeah. Here's another one. This is a different point of view on what we're talking about with David Warner and Steve Smith. Jimmy and Ray, common sense should prevail with the ban being lifted on Smith and Warner. The fans deserve to see the best players and team playing. Cricket Australia have to have the guts to lift the ban. That's from Rob.
What odds that happening, James?
Oh, highly unlikely, but it should happen. That's my point on it. It should happen. But we'll take your thoughts on that, and we'll also take your thoughts on the blow-ups as they continue up until 10 o'clock.
What they had to go through as well, the public indignation they both suffered, particularly Smith and Warner, and
yep.
to a lesser extent Bancroft,
yep.
that was almost penalty enough, Jim.
Surely.
Because they have got hung out to dry, those three men. But anyway... hopefully they can get on with their careers, and they're doing so now. So I can't wait for them to get back to the Australian team before the Ashes next year, Jim.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock, over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Time now for our legend of the game, Raymond, and I think we're both excited about the fact that our special guest today is Shane Gould, AMMBE. A legend of Australian swimming, a legend of Australian sport, to be honest. Now a legend of Australian television following winning Australian Survivor. Looking forward to having a chat. She joined us on the line. G'day, Shane.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, well, very well. What's it like being known more as a television star than an Olympian?
Oh, it's a little bit more ephemeral, I think, than an Olympic achievement. I'm reveling in it at the moment. Really, it was just one of those things. You got to do some crazy things in your life sometimes, and that was it. And it took me 2 months to decide to go on the program, and I thought, probably the better of all the reality TV shows.
Yeah.
And I was correct, and so I'm glad I did go on it, because ended up winning it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, the good news for everybody in sport, Shane, is that if you weren't aware of Shane Gould before Survivor, people went back and checked on your past, and hopefully, like Jimmy and I, realise what an absolute legend you've been for Australian sport. And when we have people on as our guest, as our legend each Sunday, we like to take them right back to the start and find out, Shane, where that love for swimming initially came from.
Yes, look, you're correct about the love of your sport. Now, if you're going to play a sport, you've got to enjoy doing it.
Mm.
And it does start from a pleasure, and I'm really saddened to hear a lot of swimmers, when they finish their career, they're sick of it, they don't enjoy it. It seems like the competition squeezed the enjoyment out of it. But I started when I was a little tacker, actually. My parents had work in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, and I swam around in the harbour there, in Sydney Harbour, around Rose Bay and Vaucluse, and then we moved to Fiji, and it was warm.
Yeah.
My dad had a job at the airport, and so we just spent a lot of time, my older sister and I, in the water. And I'd actually had an accident, and this is a lot of people's sports out too because of an accident, particularly swimming, whether it's asthma or
yes.
mm-hmm. some breathing problem. And but I didn't have a breathing problem, but I had an accident where I poured boiling hot water over my chest, and it reacted with a smallpox injection I'd had, and I had brain damage. And I didn't have brain damage; it was borderline. But some of my siblings might think that I'd had brain damage.
Did you?
So it started there, and then I had a few swimming lessons, and I was just in the water a lot. And I think that's the best way. People often ask me, how do you teach your kids to swim? When do you start swimming lessons? So I said, well, when in their first bath. Their first bath is their first swimming lesson.
Yeah.
And just take your kid to the water. A lot of kids don't like going to swimming lessons because it's just about lessons. You've got to have context. So I had loads of context. know, being in rivers and the sea and the swimming pool in Fiji. And then same thing when I came back to Australia when I was nine. Mm. And my older sister and I, one of those kids who had super amounts of energy and only swimming, swimming a couple of times a week in some lessons. And, help my parents to stay sane with our two energetic old kids there. So, so it kind of starts like that, and I'm sure everyone's got a story like that, you know, every sporting legend. And I played netball, and I played did gymnastics. I walked the dog, you know, caught body waves, you know, so I was just a super physical kid. And then gradually I eliminated other sports, and when I was 13, I concentrated on swimming and started breaking state and national records. And then 14, I broke my first world record, and I was on a European tour with some other Australian swimmers. And then in 1972, at the Munich Olympics, yes, I won... won five medals.
Mm. Yeah, you said you broke a few world records. As Ray pointed out earlier, you held every world record from 100 metres to the 1500 metres. Never been done before, never been done since. Is that the reason you concentrated on swimming and because of your proficiency at it, Shane?
I just enjoyed it. I like moving in the water. I like the feeling of the water. I like to compete, and I was good at swimming, so it just encourages you. You know, you win a race, or you feel good about yourself winning something, or not even winning, but doing it, and that's an encouragement in itself. And then you know, you have adults patting you on the back, and you know, it's good strokes for your ego. keep doing that, and. Then you start to get an identity. Oh, I'm a swimmer, or I'm a footballer, or I'm a good sport, you know, good at doing sports. And so it's just an encouragement, I think, to keep doing it. But on the fundamental level, yes, I did enjoy it. But I was able to, I had that versatility. So a lot of people specialise in, say, 100 metres backstroke. Well, why not do 200 metres breaststroke as well? And then just get in the water and have a race and be versatile in what you can do, because in the races you do, because you can learn a lot. And what you learn from doing a 200 breaststroke, if you're a 100 backstroker, is you can transfer to your 100 backstroke. So I just think I did have that versatility, but I'm sure if I'd stayed in it longer than when I quit when I was 17, that I'm sure I would have been able to. I would have had to specialise more. I think when girls are 14, 15, 16, they're actually they're like superwomen compared to guys, and that you've got your peak of big ratio of fat to muscle, and it's before you're fully formed as a woman, and you've still got some kid like attitudes and. So I think, a lot of kids can swim, and girls can swim pretty fast at that age, and because it's a physiological thing. But I think definitely if I'd stayed in, I would have had to specialise more, probably more for the 100, 200, 400 events.
Mm-hmm. Shana, I'm interested in how you approached the 72 Munich Olympics, because you just mentioned then you were still a teenager, you were still young, you still had kid-like attitudes, etc. But your star was already had already risen. You were Sportswoman of the World the year before in 71, so everyone knew about Shane Gould. Australia, I was only a kid, but I remember reading up when I was very young about Shane Gould and how she'd win five gold medals for Australia. How did you handle that pressure, knowing that the whole nation was swimming with you effectively?
Well, I probably didn't know that the whole nation was behind me, but I did know that I wanted to do that. I think the pressure I put on myself was much greater than any public pressure. I was supremely confident of my physical capacities. So that carried me through, you know, put me in the on the starting blocks, and you know, I just seem to have a natural ability to work things out, you know, how to race, how to pace myself, how to train, and the nuances of the, you know, watching my competitors, and then, you know, if someone was ahead of me, well, I could dig deep and pull out a bit more, you know, find a bit more energy and effort. So, but it was extraordinary. You know, one of my sisters, Debbie, she lives in Sydney, and she came to the Survivor finale event on the 5th of October when the winner was announced. And she, you know, I've been talking to her, and she said, "Oh, Shaney, the publicity that you're getting now for Survivor, it's just a pinch on what we had, you know, what the family endured when and had to manage when in 1972. So, you know, I was a bit oblivious of it, and my sisters, you know, bore the brunt of it. I had three sisters, and my parents were my managers, basically filtering, you know, the requests for media. So. So it was really that was more, I guess that was the build up to it, but my parents did cushion me from it. But again, I was just supremely physically confident and had that competence to go with the competition. I love to compete.
Shane, that's funny you use the word endure. Your family had to endure it rather than celebrate all these great achievements and the publicity that ensued.
Well, that's two different things. I want to be sure. No, you know, it's two different things. One is managing success.
Yes.
And the other is celebrating success.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think a lot of athletes these days particularly have trouble with how to manage success, and they get giddy about it.
Mm.
You know, they get seduced by their fame. You know, so how do you manage the success that you have? How do you keep on a level? Well, you can't keep on a level playing field, because on an emotional and, you know, social level, because you're elevated.
Yeah.
And you need to learn how to manage that, and it's hard. Mm. It's hard to stay grounded and you know, not do stupid things with alcohol or drugs or, you know, so many athletes have this sense of entitlement, you know, just because they're good at what they do and people admire them, and, you know, it just goes to their head. You know, you've got to keep grounded. And so that managing success is one thing, but celebrating success is another. Yes, you know, I was super proud and had, you know, had celebrations, you know, the sort of celebrations that a 15-year-old can do. And my family was super proud, and Australia, of course, was proud. Mm. And I was named Australian of the Year. And at that time, the Australian of the Year award was for the person who's brought the most attention to the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't just known in Australia. I was known, you know, throughout Europe, particularly because the Olympics were in Germany, and there was a lot of press in Germany and in Europe. So, so that's a bit of a riff, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
That my past and perspectives. No, they're adult perspectives I have now.
It's some lessons we can learn from that from 1972. It still applies today, no doubt, Shane. Shane, can I ask you about the Munich Olympics and, well, what became an extraordinary event in its own right for the wrong reasons, and that was the terrorism that we saw with the Israeli athletes. As an athlete in that village going through what was happening at the time, what was that like? Because I remember reading and watching the TV at the time, and there was some talk of the Olympics actually being abandoned halfway through it. Then they, after a couple of days, it continued. Can you give us a sense of what it was like as athletes in the village during that period?
Yes. Well, what happened is that there was a lot of terrorism in the 1970s. There was planes being hijacked and people being taken hostage, So the Palestinians, the PLO, the people from the PLO, mm-hmm. came to the men's village in Munich and took 11 Israeli athletes and officials hostage. And I think two were killed in the village, and then the others were taken out. My facts might not be 100%, but the others were taken out away from the village, and then the whole, most of the, all of the Israelis were killed, and in the helicopter they were in blew up, and yeah, so there was this act of terrorism in the Olympic Village. Now it occurred the night after the swimming finished. In the Olympics, they, because swimming and athletics are the two big popular sports.
Yep.
They put the swimming on in the first week and then the athletics on the second week. So the swimming had finished on the Sunday night, and it was the Monday morning when that terrorism attack occurred. And then it played out all during that Monday. And the mood in the village, of course, when I went to get breakfast, it was just dead. There was just no one around. There was no one walking around. There were guys with machine guns. German soldiers with machine guns. And of course, we were told what happened. And then the Australian team went out of the village for the day to do a swimming demonstration and some diplomacy in a town away from Munich. So the whole thing was played out. Anyhow, when we got back, and then we were standing around a black and white television, and it was all being described in German, so most of us couldn't understand what was going on. And I think even the media didn't know what was going on. They didn't have a perspective, and they were uncertain about whether more attack was going to happen, and so I was taken out of the village because they didn't know if successful people like myself and Mark Spitz happened to be of Jewish origin. He won 7 gold medals for America in the pool, and, 4 3/4. He won 4 individual and 3 relays. I love statistics, yeah. So there was tension there, and the International Olympic Committee just didn't know what to do. But Avery Brundage, the president of the Olympic Committee, and the committee decided, along with talking with international diplomats and presidents and armies, and they decided the Olympic movement had to override that terrorism attack and continue on. So we didn't know a lot about what was going on, but I didn't get to celebrate, in the village and watch other events. And I really didn't know the overview of what had happened until I read Time magazine on the way home a week later.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
But of course, two movies, a documentary and a movie, has been made of it, and we understand even more about that what happened. But it was a terrible time, terrorism is still around, but it was very very raw, and we had to be frisked at airports. They didn't have electronic things they do now, so it was very much in your face. And but my swimming had finished, but the athletes had to pick themselves up and re-motivate to do their running and track things.
Yeah, just amazing. Speaking of time, Shane, we've run out of time. No problem.
Fascinating, Shane.
Absolutely fascinating. To think we might have thought we were going to talk about swimming, and we were talking about world events such as that. It's incredible.
It's so intertwined, though, Jim, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Yeah, they are.
Absolutely.
And they say sport and politics don't mix, but they do.
Of course they do.
They all are intertwined because they're human beings.
Yes.
And politics about human beings, and sports about that being human too. So it's all intertwined. And, but hopefully the sport overrides. The joy of playing sport and being good, healthy competition can be the focus, not the argy-bargy of politics.
Yeah. Well, you're a remarkable human, Shane, for what you've achieved in the swimming pool and certainly the way you've described that for our listeners this morning. We do appreciate it. Thank you very much for being our legend of the game this morning.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much.
There she is, Shane Gould. Well, we'll take your thoughts on that. Just incredible. Wow. What a story. 13:53:53. We'll take a break. We'll come back for a sports update, but we need to regather ourselves here, Raymond, after that. Just incredible.
A couple of SMSs had a bit of a go at me asking the wrong question, but I think I had to ask about the Munich massacre, Jim, because that is such a central part of what those games were about. And Shane spoke so eloquently about it, didn't she?
Absolutely.
Winks has folded in the Cox Plate.
Winks attempts a record fourth Cox Plate.
It's a Winks Blitz.
We have everything covered with interviews, the barrier draw, Warren Huntley's track work notes, and more.
The Great Bear completes the great trilogy of the term.
It's a Winks Racing HQ, Tuesday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
It's Brett Ogle here. Look, Drummond Golf has asked me to do a world first on radio, a 15-hour commercial where I read out their entire stock list to prove that only Drummond Golf has a range that includes all the famous brands in bags, clubs, buggies, balls, shoes, clothing and accessories. But like you, I'd rather be out playing golf. So if anyone from Drummond Golf asks, can you tell them you heard the 15-hour ad and it was fantastic? Thanks.
Hunters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all restaurants and bars. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Australia defeated Tonga 34-16 in the inaugural Rugby League Test between the two sides. In front of a sea of red at Mount Smart Stadium in Auckland, the Kangaroos scored 6-3 last night. James Tedesco was named Man of the Match. 40,500 at Marvel Stadium for the A-League local derby between Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City last night. The Victory's marquee and biggest ever salary player, KSK Honda, scored the opener, but City came back with two to win the match 2-1. Three games today, including Perth and the Wanderers in Perth at 7 p.m. Greyhound Mystic Riot led all the way in the world's richest greyhound race last night at Wentworth Park, the $1 million chase. To win its connections, a cool $1 million. For Peter and Jody Lagogiani, not only part owners but trainers as well, it was a life-changing moment. New South Wales filled the top three places with Jamella Jett second and Skywave third. A century from captain Meg Lanning spearheaded Australia to a crushing 150-run ODI victory over Pakistan in Kuala Lumpur last night. Setting 274 for the win, Pakistan were all out for 123 in the 41st over. Lanning recorded 124 off 106 balls, which included 19 boundaries. The win gives the Aussie girls a 2-0 lead in the best-of-three-match series. Scott McLaughlin has the championship lead heading into today's second race in the Supercars round on the Gold Coast. McLaughlin's fifth place finish yesterday in a 300-kilometre race, which was won by Chaz Mostert, has taken him from trailing Shane Van Gisbergen by 19 points to holding a slender 14-point lead. Meantime, Aussie Jack Miller will start from third on the grid for today's Japanese Moto Grand Prix. Game 7 later this morning in the Major League Baseball playoff, the LA Dodgers and Milwaukee Brewers are tied at 3-all. The game is in Milwaukee, and the winner will go through to take on the Boston Red Sox in the World Series. Manchester City remain on top of the EPL table after a 5-0 thrashing of Burnley overnight. In other matches, Chelsea and Man United 2-2, Bournemouth and Southampton 0-0, Cardiff 4, Fulham 2, Newcastle 0, Brighton 1, West Ham 0, Tottenham 1, Wolves 0, Watford 2, Huddersfield 0, Liverpool 1. Invictus Games scheduled today includes road cycling at the Botanical Gardens and sailing at Farm Cove. Both of those events are free, but tomorrow it's the indoor rowing, volleyball and wheelchair tennis. And round 4 of the PGA Tour event in South Korea happening this morning. Cam Smith is best of the Aussies. He's 5 off the lead, and that leader is Brooks Koepka. Now, boys, the AELTC, also known as Wimbledon,
right,
announced late on Friday that the days of matches going to 70 to 68, a la 2010 with John Isner and Nicholas Mahut, and also the semi-final at Wimbledon this year as well. John Isner again and Kevin Anderson went to 26-24. Well, those days are over. O-V-E-R. Phil Brook, the chairman of the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club, announced that while we know the instances of matches extending deep into the final set are rare, we feel that a tie break at 12-all.
12.
Yeah, strikes an equitable balance between allowing players ample opportunity to complete the match to advantage while also providing certainty that the match will reach a conclusion in an acceptable time. Now, that is important, that is.
Hey, so, Ken, it's all about TV, isn't it, I reckon?
I would say so, yes. Mm. But it was Kevin Anderson, I'm sure that they were thinking about it, but he was the one who pushed it forward after that semi-final. He called for a rethink to the format, saying, you know, we can't be doing this.
Yeah.
It cannot go on.
And
go on, Ray.
And I've got to say, and it's also massive changes in the way the Davis Cup's going to be played too next year as well. So all the traditions of sport, of tennis at least, in that regard, out the window. Longevity's getting replaced by the demands of TV schedules.
That's right. And for places like, England and also Lords as well, change in those organisations is, very rare.
But not just for TV either, for Kevin Anderson, because you've got to think about
that's
the athlete
the
ability to win a final if you've had a 26-24 fifth set in a semi-final. So
you bounce back within 24 hours less in some cases.
Yeah.
I wonder when John, I can't remember when John Isner won that game 70-68. Did he go on and win the next match?
Oh,
that was a first round match, actually.
That's a good point.
That's a good trivia question.
You'd have to say no way.
Yeah.
no way. Anyway, 1353-53, that's the open line number.
Good touch by Juric to get clear of the defender. And here's a chance for Aouar-Mabil, who rounds off his international debut with his first goal for his country. What a moment. A lovely moment between the two of them. Aouar-Mabil on the score sheet, and it's 4.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome eventually back to the program. Time now to talk some football with our football expert, Phil Moss. Hello, Mossy.
Good morning, guys. You sound bubbly this morning, Jimmy, considering?
Considering what?
Oh, what happened at Stamford Bridge, Evan? You'd be a little bit down this morning.
Well, he's provided our talk topic, Jose Mourinho, after a bit of a blow up. Before we get
again.
To actually, why don't we start with again? Yeah, again. Was it just a trainer, one of the support staff of Chelsea, running past and just shaking the fist at him?
Yeah, look, and then a comment on the way back, I think.
Right.
I slowed it down a couple of times because I just had to get to the bottom of it, without being there, of course. But, I think there was some histrionics on the way out to the sideline and a couple of comments on the way back that certainly it looks kill. that assistant, who I dare say probably worked under Mourinho, wouldn't be long for football.
Well,
but all part of the theatre.
Yeah, good morning, Phil. What does that say about Mourinho and his mindset at the moment and the pressure on the man and how he's coping with it?
Yeah, look, he does continue to divide opinion and that's what he does. But, there's part of me that thinks he should be on the way out for the way he carries on. And there's another part of me that says I'd really miss him if he left, because there's always theatre around him. But yeah, it just seems to. Last night, Ross Barkley's goal in the 96th minute of a 96-minute game just sort of typified what's going on at Manchester United under Mourinho. And look, that game, the first half really must be frustrating. And Jimmy, you tell me, you're a Manchester United fan, but it must have been so frustrating to see how skinny their performance was. And then after the break, the shackles are off and they play some great stuff and score some good goals. And, you know, it really is frustrating because Manchester United under Sir Alex Ferguson, I know we keep going back to that reference point, but that was when they were so successful, played unbelievable football, and it was always on the front foot.
Yeah, and I guess the shadow of Sir Alex Ferguson is still there at Manchester United. Your boys got out of, not out of jail, but 1-0 over Huddersfield Town at Huddersfield. But Man City, 5-0. And the thing about this one, Phil, five different scorers.
Yeah, that was one of the notes I made after that one, Jimmy. And that they really did flex their muscle. Aguero, Bernardo Silva, Fernandinho, Mahrez, Sane. You know, all getting on the score sheet, and they just continue to go from strength to strength. But some wonderful goals, some wonderful football, and really it was men against boys. But you kind of expected that, with all due respect to Burnley supporters, you kind of expected that going into the game. They're just so good.
Liverpool had a win overnight, 1-0, to join Manchester City back on the top of the EPL, Phil.
Yes, Ray, and great to see Salah on the score sheet. He's copped a fair bit of criticism this season for being a bit flat post the World Cup. And after his heroics last season, he was head and shoulders above anyone else. And, yeah, very well-taken goal. It was a Salah of old, a real darting run in behind the back line and a great finish. Very, very assured. So let's hope that's a turning point for him. Champions League this week, so, you know, another big game coming up, and Liverpool need Salah firing to really keep the title challenge up.
Speaking of controversy, let's go a little bit closer to home. Melbourne Derby, VAR blow-up from Bozo at half-time. What was your thoughts on it, Phil?
We were about to get a blow-up from Mossy Sunday morning, Jimmy.
Right.
I'm just, you know, I've been an advocate of the VAR. I've always said that I think it should have been introduced goal line technology and big penalty decisions.
Yep.
And last night was not a big penalty decision. It should have been no decision. In fact, the referee should have been overruled. I think Fornaroli went to ground far too easily. In our game, contact doesn't automatically mean it's a foul. It is a contact sport. There was minimal contact, not enough really for the striker, in my opinion, to go to the ground. Look, it's just, last night was a farce. There is no way, and I feel for Kevin Muscat because, you know, these decisions can, you know, can alter the course of a season. They can alter the course of your livelihood based on results, and it's just not good enough. I mean, there would have been thousands of people sitting at home with the same benefit as the VAR, or less benefit because of less angles, where you can stop it, rewind it, slow motion it, and there was never a penalty in that, not in a million years.
So, Phil, much like the NRL bunker system, what's the answer with the VAR?
Well, I mean, how long have we got to speak, right?
Would you like to see it continue, Phil? I'll put it that way.
Look, yes, there is definitely, you know, a need for technology to be used in major decisions because we've got it at our fingertips. So why wouldn't we use it if it's going to help us get big decisions right? But it's, you know, I don't think it's the technology. I think it's the people using it.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, they've got the power to sit there and make a decision. I still think the biggest problem with VAR in football is that the VAR get in the ear of the referee instead of the referee asking for the VAR if they're not sure. And I think that would be a first major change that I would make because referees, you know, make a decision and they get a whisper in the ear that, mate, we need to have a look at this. I don't think that's the right process to go through.
National Rugby League, I hope you are listening. All right, let's go to these games today and we want to get some winners out of you for the listeners as well. Wellington up against the Newcastle Jets.
I'm going to go for Newcastle here across the ditch. Jimmy boy, I just think Ernie Merrick will know how to get the best of the beaten grand finals from last season over there against his old team. Mark Rudin makes his coaching debut for Wellington, but I think Newcastle will be too strong over there.
$2.15. Brisbane Roar up against Central Coast.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brisbane for this one, Jimmy. It's not an easy one for me to tip against my old club, the Mariners, but I just think up there in Brisbane, I think they've sort of slipped under the radar a bit in the pre-season, Brisbane. The Mariners certainly haven't with the whole Usain Bolt circus, but, yeah, look, I just think the distraction of the whole Bolt thing, especially in the last 10 days with talks of him, you know, either signing here or going over to Malta. I just think Brisbane have probably been a little more focused in the last week and will get the points up there at Suncorp.
$1.90. And the final game to round out round one, Perth Glory up against Western Sydney.
Popper's new team against Popper's old team.
Yeah.
Really, is what this comes down to. And, look, I think Western Sydney scored a major coup in the off-season, keeping Oriol Riera, their striker, who had a big offer to go back to Spain. He scored 15 goals for them last year, but I think Perth, over in the West will get the chocolates, and you watch Popper have a major impact at Perth this season. I see them as the Smoky this season. I really think he'll get them firing, and if they can win all their home games, which they're a big chance to do, I think they'll be there or thereabouts at the end of the season.
All right. Good on you, Mossy. We've got to fly, mate. Time constraints here. Maybe next week you could join us in the studio like you used to back in the good old days.
Have a great day, guys. See you next Sunday.
No guarantees on that one. Yeah, I like it. Phil Moss there, our footballing expert. Just before we go to a break, Raymond, we are getting a lot of feedback around this Shane Gould interview. Just incredible. Brett from Richmond here. Just wow. Shane Gould, what an interview. I hope our sporting brats of today are listening. Yeah, what didn't she have class? Just fantastic. And this one comes in. Jimmy, I hope you heed Shane's advice and don't let your success in the quiz get the better of you. That's from Scooter. Not done yet, Scooter. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. But gee, the beers are going to taste nice.
Winks has folded in the Cox Plate.
Winks, a tenth's a record fourth Cox Plate.
It's a Winks Blitz.
We have everything covered with interviews, a barrier draw, Warren Huntley's track work notes, and more.
The Great Bear completes the Great Trilogy of the Term.
It's a Winks Racing HQ, Tuesday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
Rewarded at Panthers. With Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards, there's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Game 7, coming our way from Milwaukee tomorrow. Brewers win it 7-2.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, Game 7, we heard, $1.87. They are the favourites, Milwaukee, to beat the Dodgers in that match. $1.95, the Dodgers. Time now to talk a few odds with tab.com.au's Trent Lanscale, who is sitting next to you, Ray Thomas. I can see him on the screen. Have a look at him, mate, in resplendent. And Trent, am I right in saying that's a Hawthorn lanyard that you're presently wearing?
Of course it is, Jimmy. Good morning to you and Ray. It feels a bit different when you've got Ray basically right next to you, but this is proudly worn every day in the office, Jimmy. And it also helps because if you have the pass around your neck, you don't get locked out of the building, which can be helpful when you actually want to do some work.
Well, I heard you get in there more to do some sleeping than work, but anyway, that's the rumour on the
show. The great man's so committed, he slept overnight to make sure could make my entry a little bit easier this morning.
I wasn't
so
here, I can assure you, Ray. And Jimmy, I know Jimmy's really concerned. He's often caring. Mm-hmm. I think caring's the right word. In regards
I don't
to
think it is,
it's,
how
it's,
to sleep.
It's a word, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it applies to Jimmy.
Concerning, caring, it's all the same. No, I can assure you, Jimmy, that I was a bit tired last night. I actually slept over at a friend's place when we had a barbecue, just to get off topic. But I made sure that I was up early enough so I could make sure that Ray was comfortable getting in here, and he was able to park the car and was able to find the necessities like the drinking machine and perhaps.
You know what, though? It's an absolute rabbit warren. But we'll move on.
I heard you are going all right on the circuit, Trent. So good to hear that's continuing as well. Now, round two of the NBL. Yeah, could we keep going? Well, you said you stayed over at a friend's place after a barbecue. We know what that's code for, but
Trent, you don't want to give this guy an inch, and you just did. You left the door wide open.
Anyway, round two of the NBL concludes today.
It does, with three games. 12:20 this afternoon in Auckland. The New Zealand Breakers are $1.95 against the Sydney Kings at $1.85. The Kings looking for their first win of the season. The line, it's 1.5, so pretty tight there. Just the margin betting the favoured way is the Kings 1-10, $2.80. $2.50 this afternoon at Melbourne Arena. It's a rematch of last season's grand final series, which did go the maximum five games. Melbourne United, $1.50. And the Adelaide 36ers, $2.60. The line there is 4.5. And then at 5:20 at the Cairns Convention Centre, the Taipans are $1.53 against the Illawarra Hawks at $2.50. They'll be thankful that they were able to rest after the four overtime game, and then they had to go to Perth 48 hours later. The line for that game is 4.5. And also mentioning, Jimmy, that we get to see on ESPN this afternoon, well, it's a 1:30 start, but depending on the baseball and the college football, we might see a fair bit of it. LeBron James in his Lakers home debut.
Wow.
They're up against the Houston Rockets. The Lakers are $2.30 and the Houston Rockets $1.62. He did play for the Lakers on Friday, our time, when they were in Portland. They did lose that one, but you'd expect a big showing there when LeBron James is introduced to the home Laker fans for the first time at the Staples Center.
Trent, three games to complete the opening round of the A-League today, including the Wanderers over in Perth tonight.
Well, that's the third of the games there, Ray. We'll mention that one because you've brought it up. Perth against Western Sydney. Perth, $2.25. The draw, $3.60. And Western Sydney at $3. It's a 7 o'clock start at NIB Stadium. Not great for Western Sydney, though. The home team is undefeated in the last 9 A-League contests between these sides. 5 wins and 4 draws. The first of the matches is a 3 o'clock start at Westpac Stadium. Wellington against Newcastle. Wellington, $3.15. The draw, $3.65. And Newcastle, $2.15. The Jets were fantastic last season, getting to the grand final. And then the 5 o'clock start at Suncorp Stadium. Brisbane, $1.90. They're up against Central Coast at $3.85. The draw, $3.75. There is a match overnight in the EPL for round 9. A 2 o'clock start at Goodison Park. Everton are at home to Crystal Palace, and Everton are clear favourites at $1.85. And you also mentioned, Jimmy, at the top that we do have Game 7 of the National League Championship Series in the Major League Baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Milwaukee with Julius Chacon on the mound for them, $1.87, and the Los Angeles Dodgers with Walker Buehler on the mound at $1.95. And with the World Series, as mentioned in the quiz, the Boston Red Sox are already there, and they're $1.55, and they will have home field, whether they are up against either the Milwaukee Brewers or the LA Dodgers. Plenty of other sport, obviously racing as well. Can't wait for Saturday's Cox Plate at Moonee Valley. Winks going for 4 in succession. But you can check out all those markets and plenty more at tab.com.au.
Ferris's young bloke, Walker, getting a start with the Dodgers too. Bueller. You continue having your friends with benefits look after you on a Saturday night, which is fantastic. Trent, do appreciate that. Trent Lanskell there from tab.com.au.
He's not happy. I've got to make sure he looks after me, because it's impossible to find the joint. So don't get him up too upset, Jimmy, because I want to make sure I can get in next Sunday.
Well, if he wants to not be upset, then make sure he gets a better night's sleep. That's all I'm saying. 1353 53 is the open line number. Time now to speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars. And I tell you what, this man, he's absolutely on fire. Baileyus, go Baileyus! Hello, Scotty.
G'day, boys. No good news there from the horse yesterday, unfortunately. But we did have some very good news in regards to some listeners purchasing a vehicle yesterday, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
I'd like to say congratulations to Brittany Nielsen from Oatlands. Brittany, her father John, mother Sue and sister Danielle, they all went into work yesterday and Brittany got herself a great little automatic Barina. So they love the show. They've been listening for years and we'd like to thank them for their support.
Absolutely fantastic. Well done.
And our family? Yeah.
And well, you know what? Well done, Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Righto, what do you got for the listeners today, Scotty?
Well, boys, we do have an extensive range of near new cars available at the moment, and you can see them all on our website. But today, I would like to advertise another great first or second car for one of the listeners. We have got a 2005 Holden AH Astra CDX. This is a five-door automatic hatch, only travelled 137,000 kilometres. It does have the logbooks with the service history, and this has got registration till September 2019. That's about $1,000 worth of value on its own. It comes with air conditioning, power steering, ABS brakes, airbags, traction control, cruise control, power windows, Bluetooth, reverse sensors, and 16-inch alloy wheels. It's got the lot. This will be a safe, reliable, and economical automatic hatch. And we have it on special for the listeners today at just $4,990. You will not buy better. This is a steal, and it does have nearly 12 months registration. You've got to go to the website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-75024. And don't forget to mention Sky Sports Radio to get this great price.
And you've got some great financial packages available as well too, Scotty.
Yeah, we certainly do. We've got access to a number of lenders. This allows us to get the best possible rates, but also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even the Uber drivers, then go to our website, www.fostersqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-75024.
And apparently you can get the listeners a good truck too.
We certainly can. Yeah, don't forget that we've gone into partnership with the Good Truck Wholesalers, Mick Appleby there, so we can now supply trucks as well as cars to all our loyal listeners and just help everybody out with no matter what they need.
Oh, Mirrors Appleby, eh? Hey? Who'd have thought? 963-75024 is the number. Fosterskqualitycars.com.au is the website. Good on you, Scotty. We'll speak again next week.
We certainly will. Have a great afternoon, boys.
There he is.
See you, Scotty.
Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars. Lots of these SMS coming in around the blow-ups, around Shane Gould as well. We're back in the news again, I think, because we put them in the news, Raymond. Smith, Warner and Bancroft will always be known as cheats. Sorry, gents. The facts speak. All being an Aussie, they deserve their bans. What a sad day it was. Cheers, Danny. I reckon it's split 50-50. Do you think you get that
it
feel?
It does polarise opinion, yeah. It does. And primarily because of your point, Jimmy, is that there's been similar instances around the world where bans have been effectively a fine or one match. So getting, you know, the massive bans that all three of them cop from Cricket Australia just seemed out of whack. This comes in from Bruce. Watching that game last night, Man U are poor. They're 2-4, Lukaku and Rashford. Haven't got any firepower, Jimmy. Mourinho may get the sack, but it won't stop the side of Man U with another coach.
There you go. Yeah, interesting.
Thoughts, James?
Oh, well, let's buy some more then. Seriously, that's what you do, don't you? Go and buy some. Probably you've got to wait till January now. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Graham is on the line, wants to have his say. G'day, Graham.
G'day.
What do you got
morning,
for us?
Morning, Graham.
I just want to talk about the Shane Gould one. That was a pretty good one. But you didn't ask what she gave it away for. I'm just wondering why she gave it away at such a young age.
It's a very good point that you make, Graham. And we've had Grant via SMS say, look, I missed the start of the interview. Why did she give it away? And to be fair, we sort of went down another track and we would have loved to have asked her that. But unfortunately, we ran out of time.
But yeah. I think it was primarily because, Graham, she got married and wanted to start a family. So she thought she'd achieved all she had in swimming and went down another path after meeting her first husband. So that was the main reason she gave it away. I guess what we could have asked her, Jimmy and Graham, was, do you regret not swimming on another 4 years at least? You know, because she was still so young, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I heard she couldn't handle all the pressure, but maybe that was, I was 22 at the time. I was in it. I'm a beach boy myself. I'm primarily the beachy on the surf club and that. And I knew, you know, all about it. But
yeah.
I heard that she actually just couldn't handle all the, and she's too young, you know what I mean?
Oh, I think that played a part, Graeme. It's an interesting point that you make. But I
she had an interesting take on it, didn't she, Jimmy?
Yeah, she did.
She used that word endure. Her family had to endure. But she quickly corrected what she was trying to say. You can celebrate success, also learn how to manage it. So being so young, and given that the focus was so much on her, it would have been tough, wouldn't it?
Shane Gould was a class act in the 70s, and as we all heard, she still is, for all the right reasons. Young sports people. Please take note. That's from Jim. And that seems to be a common theme coming out of that interview. Well, I hope you enjoy Melbourne, Raymond.